Nein, was machen wir mal? The greatest imtihan in this world is the imtihan of patience. It is natural for us to desire. It is natural for us to be tempted. It is within our nature to be provoked. It is also natural for us to feel intimidated and then respond accordingly. We are tempted to do something, then we will respond accordingly. If we are provoked, we will respond accordingly. If we are intimidated, we will respond accordingly. So this is natural. It's not against nature. The actual imtihan, the actual examination is that what is going to be your endurance. This is going to be there. Sometimes it will be your temptation that is going to be tried out. There will be woman, there will be wealth, and the other temptations of the world will be thrown at you. So we are going to observe what's going to be your level of endurance, how you're going to withstand, how you're going to put up against this type of examinations. Will there be any difference between you and the other creations that have not been set with this trial? Other animals, they haven't been tasked with this trial. Any animal for that matter, it's tempted and it will respond immediately. Whatever it is tempted to do, it will respond. If it's provoked, it will act accordingly. Provoke that animal, or someone, some other animal provokes this animal, it will respond immediately. So now the basic difference between us and other animals is that all are going to go through that examination. They will be provoked and they will respond accordingly. For them there is no qiyamah, there is no such a thing like sawab, there is no such a thing like akhirat, no thing as jannat and jahannam. So if they provoked and they respond accordingly, it's not a problem. Obviously if they're going to respond, then they will also need to be prepared for the consequences that will follow. Right. So that is the limit of other animals. But with respect to us, we'll have to observe two things. One is, we will have to look in the mirror of the Sharia, that are we allowed to give into a temptation or not? Or will we have to apply the brake of the Sharia upon us? This is the first level. That a temptation is coming. Now, do I go with the temptation or do I apply the brake of the Sharia? This is the first examination. Whether it is wealth, it is woman, or any other temptation, any other comfort of this world, this is the first level that I will look at. Then how tempting that may be and how exciting it may be, that's irrelevant. Allah Pak is the creator, He made us, and He knows that we have got temptations. In spite of His knowledge and in spite of Him creating this within us, He is commanded that you apply the brake of restraint. You apply the brake of the Sharia, you apply the brake of restraint. I have created you, I know you. But I am commanding, in spite of me creating you, Allah Pak is saying, in spite of me creating you, I command you that now you apply your restraint here. you don't exceed this limit. So this is your examination, this is your trial. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is walking past. Woman is crying over the grave of her child. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advises her to restrain, to refrain from this. So she replies that you haven't been struck with the type of calamity I have been struck with. So move away, you don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. Like how a person will normally say, you know what I'm going through. I'm going through something terrible. إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي. You get away. You don't know what I am being struck with. How we will say and how we will respond to other people, this woman responded exactly the same way. That I have been struck with this. I know what I am going through. You know what I am going through. So you move away. So every person will reply in the same way. If it's a love triangle, then he will say the same thing. You know, I'm struck with this. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my feelings. My sentiments, you don't know. If it's a business thing also, he will say the same thing. You don't know what I'm going through. You know, what I'm putting up with against all these people here. What I'm going through, you don't know. So you stay away from this. Keep away from this. Rasulullah Pasam advised her and he moved away. Later she was informed about the whole thing. She came to ask for mafi. So that advice, innama sabru al-sadmatil ula or fis-sadmatil ula, the real reward is on the first encounter. Eventually musibat jilte jilte sabr to aayi jayegi. Eventually you will learn sabr. Living with a calamity, you will learn how to cope with it eventually. That is natural. That's everybody will learn how to cope with it after some times. After a week, someone will cope with it after a month, after 2 months. But eventually you'll learn how to cope with it. But the criteria is the first encounter. When you're struck with it, how do you respond to it? The first encounter. You're struck now, and how do you encounter? That is the criteria. That is what Allah is going to observe. That's the criteria, that is the reward, and that is the merit. How are you going to encounter that? Now, the Quran and the Hadith is replete with all these type of incidents. How do we encounter these problems? What must be our first encounter, and how do we take it? Do we stoop down to the level of an animal, or do we look up to the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, and to our elders, do we look up at them for emulation and for direction? What do we do? There's various paths that we can take. We can take the path of animals, and it is also within us to emulate the path of the awliya, of the Sahaba, of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. Now there's two parts of this problem. One part is not to provoke anybody, not to hurt anybody. That's one side of it. And the other side of it is to be patient and to practice restraint. So you need to get both in perspective and understand both. Nowadays, each person learns his part of the Quran Sharif. Your part of the Quran Sharif, you learn. And my part of the Quran Sharif, I learn. If I am a poor person, then I will go to the wealthy and tell him, you know, Quran Sharif says, وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Must give out zakat. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. So all the ayats of the Quran Sharif that pertain to me, to my advantage, I'll learn all that. Charities, you must give charities. And charities, they extinguish the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they remove calamities. So I learned all that section. So I am the poor, I learned that ayat. And the wealthy will learn his side of the Quran Sharif, the ayats of the Quran Sharif, that is to his advantage. La yas'aluna an-nas. What? He learned, they don't go about begging people. So the wealthy has learned his section of the Quran, la yas'aluna an-nas. They don't go around begging. And the poor has learned his part of the Quran Sharif. So each person has learned his. As though now, the poor has dedicated his life to teach the wealthy. You know what? You're not fulfilling your obligation, so I need to see to it that you fulfill your obligation. Yeh faqir reh gaye in bichare ko waaz karne ke liye. He has dedicated his life to go and teach him. See, you're not fulfilling your obligation. You need to fulfill your obligation. And the wealthy has remained now. He has dedicated himself to teach the poor. You see, you're not supposed to be asking, going around begging. So he's learnt his section of the Quran Sharif. He's learnt his section, his part of the Quran Sharif. So the actual way is to understand what is your obligation. What is your duty? To look at the weakness and the problem of the next person is not a difficult thing, it's easy. You look around, you'll find 10 problems immediately in a person. Just look around, you'll find all the problems you'll find. Bahadur Shah Zafar Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, جب نہیں تھی اپنے اوپر نظر دیکھتے رہے لوگوں کے عیب و ہنر. When we hadn't had our glance focused on ourselves, we kept on looking at the weaknesses of people. Well, this person has got that problem, he's got this problem, he's got this weakness. Kept on looking at the problems of people. Lekin جب پری اپنے اوپر نظر تو دنیا میں کوئی برا نہ رہا. But eventually when we focused on ourselves, when we began to watch ourselves and x-ray ourselves, then there wasn't a single bad person in the world as my own self. Now I begin to x-ray myself and examine myself from the time I know myself, the wrongs that I have done in the school life, the early teens, what people don't do, all the type of madness that he is involved in. And just for example, although it's not possible, just imagine, put yourself into this situation, that from the age of 13 or 14, someone had been videoing you all the time. He's videoed you all the time from the age of 13, 14. Everything, every move of yours. He videoed whether you were at home, whether you were in the bathroom, whether you were in your bed, whether you were in school, or whether in the shopping area, wherever you were. In the sports field, they were videoing you, they were taping you, every word that you mentioned from that age till now. And they say, you know, I can play it, you know, all what you did from that age till this age here now, we can replay the whole thing. We can advertise it, we can publicize it now. You're a Maulana Sahab or Hafiz Sahab or some degrees with your name and some popularity, some respect, people are holding you in esteem. And now with all this, and they tell you, but we'll video you, we videoed you already. Your whole story and your whole history and your biography, we have got it all in tape. And if you accept it, we will play it and we will advertise it. Are you prepared for that? We're not prepared for that. We know, all of us know what we have got in our almaris, we got in our cupboards, the skeletons that we have got, all of us know. And we will never want that. We will never bargain for that. And many a times when I think that amongst the favors of Allah Ta'ala, this is the greatest favor, that He has covered us up. Nobody knows our past, they don't know our history, what we did in the quiet, in the open, amongst people, how we used or misused our tongues, how we conducted ourselves. Nobody knows. It's only between us and Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, perhaps after some time, after istighfar, maghfirat, etc., He may have made the malaika also forget about what we have done. So the malaika also forgotten, it's just between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah ta'ala knows. If you just look at this one single favor of Allah ta'ala, then it's too much. It's more than what you can bargain for. Forget the rest of the favors that Allah ta'ala is showering all the time. Sha'abiba rahmatik, all the time. The shower is the constant, continuous shower. There is no interruption in this shower. All the time we are living in the shower of the mercy of Allah ta'ala. So this one single favor is such, it's much more than what we can bargain for. Allah ta'ala has covered us up. So the real way is, in the manner Allah ta'ala has covered us, we cover His servants. He has covered us. He has put a shawl, a shroud of honor over us, a shroud of respect over us, that people see us, mashallah, oh, this person is a namazi, he goes to the masjid, mashallah, he's got good habits, he's got good friends, there's good words that he speaks about all the time. So it's just a shroud of the mercy of Allah ta'ala. What they really praising is not us, they are praising that shroud that is over us. But if Allah ta'ala has to just move that, shift that shroud for a second, move it out, people will really understand what we really are. They will really see our true colors. So when they praise us, they're not praising us, they're really praising Allah ta'ala's shroud of mercy that is covering us, that is veiling us all the time. So what we need to is, in the manner Allah ta'ala has favored us, ahsin kama ahsanallahu ilayk, like He's favored us, that He's covered us with His shroud of mercy, with His cover and veil of mercy, then we need to do the same with His servants. You will not want your child to be disgraced. You will not want. You don't want him to be despised, do you? So all these makhluk, they belong to Allah Ta'ala, like the child belongs to you. You say so that this child belongs to you, right? So you don't want his disgrace. You don't want his embarrassment. If it's your child or your parents, it's about my parents and my child. So I don't want to see their embarrassment, and I don't want to see them being disgraced. So this entire makhluk, who do they belong to? They belong to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to see them to be embarrassed. He doesn't want to see them disgraced. Like He's covered you, you cover others as well. He's shown you affection and love, so you in turn also show that type of affection and love. In the Bani Israel, there was a severe drought, animals were dying, crops were perishing because of that severe drought. So the Nabi had moved out into the opens to make Salat-e Istisqa, plead for rain. So Allah Ta'ala says to them, to the Nabi of the time, that you can go on crying until this earth becomes moist, and until you begin to bleed with tears, but we aren't going to send a drop of rain. We're not going to send down a drop of rain. So this Nabi asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is it that you're not going to send down rain for us? At the time of drought, then we are asked to make istisqa, ask Allah ta'ala's help, ask for His forgiveness and plead for His help. So Allah Ta'ala, why aren't you going to send down the rains when we have done what you have instructed us to do? That's normal for a man. He wants to know what is the problem. Let me go and sort it out. This is the problem. Let me go and sort it out. Really, we have forgotten this avenue. When we have got a problem, we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This avenue we have forgotten. The princess had fallen ill, and the king went helter-skelter. He got really disturbed. He went, like the normal procedure is, first you will go to a GP. Doesn't work out, second level, go to a specialist. didn't work out, now go to the hospital, blood test, urine test, whatever test, still not working out, then hospitalize, under observation, for all the machines, this, that, everything not working out. Then the fourth step, fourth level, koi bahar ka asar hai, koi bahar ka asar hai, someone put some jinnat, some jadu, we checked one alimi, no, someone did something for you. So for 1 hour or 2 hours, you got some relief. Then again you get the same feeling, hey, now you went to another amil. No, that man didn't see you right. You need to go and see a stronger amil. And the third amil, and the fourth amil, and you're going around in chakkar. Eventually it dawned upon the king, how long are you going to carry on in this circle here? Dua karne wali zaat to hamari hai. We are the doers. We make things happen, and we cause all the events to happen. It's our control, it's our authority. Nobody causes anything. The jinnat or the jinnat's grandfather, they can't do anything in it. We will do. Karne wali zaat to hamari hai. So you have turned to everything else, but you haven't turned to us. You have turned to everybody else, but you haven't turned to us. Like your child, 7-9 years of age, he's got a problem, he's turned to everybody else, but he hasn't come to you. How you take it? Lightly. He's turned to everybody. Oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. But he's going around singing to everybody, but he doesn't come and petition you as the father, as the parent. He doesn't come and ask you a single thing. So how does the father take it? So the real way was to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have forgotten this avenue, that we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. There's two things what we need. One is to turn to Allah ta'ala. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَأَصْلَحَ تَابَ وَأَصْلَحَ. Amend our ways, correct our ways. That's the procedure. For everything there is a procedure, so this is the procedure. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. Someone says, no, namaz will bring barakat in your rozi, right? So you say, no, I perform my namaz. But did you do it with procedure? Your clothing needed to be parked. Your clothes was parked? No, it wasn't parked. The place that you perform your namaz, that's supposed to be parked. Well, that wasn't right. Your body needed to be parked. Was your body parked? No. You need to face to the qibla? No. I wasn't facing the Qibla. You need to see that the time was right. It wasn't a makruh and forbidden time that you're performing the namaz. So did you follow the procedure? You haven't followed the procedure and you're asking for results. So similarly, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to follow procedure. Whatever we are doing, we need to follow procedure. Once you follow the procedure, you'll see the rest of it is Allah ta'ala's. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah used to say, that when a calamity strikes, then you need to see within yourself. Are you getting pareshan, uneasy, ghabraat, or not? If it is a feeling of uneasiness and ghabraat, you can't contain yourself, you're running helter-skelter. If you're running helter-skelter, and you're getting real ghabraat, then really, this is meant to be a punishment for you. For some wrong you have done, this is meant to be a punishment for you. And if it is a means of your forgiveness or a means of the elevation of your rank, then precisely at the time of calamity and difficulty, you're going through difficulty, hardship, someone is cruel towards you, he's not right towards you, or you are feeling some pain, some ache, some injury, whatever it is, but precisely at the time that you are going through this whole thing, this whole ordeal, you feel calm and easy within yourself. You don't feel restless, you don't feel uneasy. Right? See, someone gives you a blow on the face, right? Right? How do you feel? It's an injury on the face. But if it is a dentist that gives you an injection, he extracts the teeth, a lot of blood is coming out, how do you feel? You'll feel easy and relaxed. And here the person has given you a blow, you become very agitated. How can he do this? What he thinks of me? And what's my reputation now? In public he did this type of a thing, he treated me in this way. No, I must do something. I must stand up. He's stamping my toes now. So, the one situation you become very, very uneasy and restless. Now that's indicative of Allah Ta'ala's punishment. See? But if it is a blessing or it is meant for our forgiveness, sins, Allah Ta'ala washing our sins away, then precisely at the time of the calamity, difficulty, you'll be relaxed, you'll be easy, you'll be calm about the whole thing, not worried. Alright, certain degree of worry, now what must I do now? The necessary steps you need to take. It's a motor car accident, so what are the necessary steps that I must take? It's a problem, someone is sick, someone passed away, and what is the necessary procedure? But, he mar gaya, kya hoga? He died now, what's going to happen? As though the whole qiyamah fell upon you. See? Now that is a sign, that's indicative of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. See in the battle of Uhud, إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ. Sahaba Ikram's body are lying, bodies are lying there. Approximately 70 Sahaba Ikram are shaheed. They can see their brethren dying. But such a feeling of serenity, peace has overtaken them, that at the time that the kuffar are pulling out and drawing out their swords against them, they're shooting arrows against them, they're feeling sleepy actually. They're going off to sleep. Can you imagine the whole sight now? Enemy has got his guns against you. He's got his swords against you. He's got the arrows against you, all pointing against you. You can see your own brethren, their bodies lying around. They're being shot, they're being killed. But sleep is overtaking you. So this is a rahmat. This is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. So it's easy to detect whether this calamity that has befallen, has struck upon you, is it a calamity meant to be your punishment, or is it meant to be a rahmat, a mercy, an elevation of status? You look within your heart, you look within your mind, you'll understand what steps you need to do, what steps you need to take. If it's a punishment, then you take appropriate steps. No, I've done something wrong. Something wrong, something has gone away, I didn't check myself. So this Nabi asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say that there's not going to be a single drop of rain that's going to be falling down. What is the reason? So Allah ta'ala's answer comes, that there is someone that is carrying tales amongst yourselves. He's gossiping, he's carrying tales. Chugli kar rahe hai. See, to go and relate a story from one end to the other end, just to cause problems, just to incite. To curry favor with someone, or to get someone on your side, to get on someone's support. So what you do? You carry tales. Relate from one side to the other side. Go about carrying tales. See? So Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this. This discord, sowing discord, dissension, causing problems amongst Muslims, amongst people. Allah doesn't like that. Wallahu la yuhibbul fasad. Allah doesn't like this type of corruption. So, now the Nabi announces amongst the people, who is that person that is sowing this type of discord, carrying tales, etc. So nobody is owning up. Now, who wants to own up in the midst of a big community? You know, I am responsible for this sin, I am responsible for this guna. Nobody should be responsible for that. So Nabi says the only other way is, now I'll have to separate one person at a time. People are dying here because of starvation and all that. So I will separate one person and make dua. Because he's out of the crowd now. So when he's out of the crowd, Allah will definitely listen to the dua. So one person at a time is being separated and dua is being made. Salatul Istisqa is being made. In the meanwhile, this person thinks to himself, okay, just now I'm going to be embarrassed. If I'm separated and the rain comes, people will know that I'm the culprit. And I don't want to live with this type of embarrassment and disgrace. So within his heart, he started making tawbah, istighfar, Allah Ta'ala, you do, forgive me. Main to bara paapi hu, I'm a big criminal, I've done this. And he went and sorted out the problem with whichever person he had. Andar Khani, he went and sorted it out because it's relating to someone else, so you need to go and settle it with that person. He settled it. Now dua is being made and the rain is falling. So this Nabi asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now how come the rain fell? Said, oh, that person, that banda who was carrying the tails, he made peace with us. Humare saath usne sulah kar liya. He made peace with us, so there was no reason for us to keep back and hold back the reins. Nabi asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is that fortunate banda whose tawbah you have answered, on account of which person you have sent down the rain? So Allah ta'ala replies to this banda. To ajeeb baat hai ke jab is bande ki hamare saath ladai thi, humne unki badnami nahi ki. Ab jab hamare saath sulah kar liya, kya hum unki badnami karenge? When he was at war with us, we did not embarrass him, we did not disgrace him. Okay. Now that he's made peace with us, are we going to embarrass him? When he was at war with us, at that time we concealed him, we covered him up. Now he made peace with us. Now are we going to disgrace him? Are we going to publicize his name? Okay. So Allah Ta'ala loves this. Okay. Like he's covered us, our mistakes, our weakness. And we have that same type of approach with the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and cover up, try and overlook their faults, their weaknesses, whatever it is. But we think to ourselves that how many faults of ours Allah ta'ala has covered up. In the same token, we cover up the faults of His servants. Our children, we would like them not to feel embarrassed. We don't want to see that their morale is broken down. If we ever see them in a state of despondency, their morale is broken down, then we want to pick them up. So Allah Ta'ala also wants His servants to be respected and honored. We are talking of patience and sabr. This is the biggest trial, this is the biggest examination that we have to go through. We have these feelings within us, feelings of responding, feelings of putting the person in place, getting back at someone. That's human nature. It's not against human nature, it's human nature. But as a Muslim, what we are required to see it is that what was the way of the Anbiya, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the Awliya-i-Kiram, how did they respond in the face of such trials, difficulties, problems? Someone is abusing them, how did they respond? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, someone abused him, he hurled insult against him. Imagine, Afdalul Bashari Ba'd al Anbiya'i bit Tahqiq, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The best person after all the Anbiya is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now this person is hurling abuse, he's insulting him, shouting at him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, it can be one of two situations. Either I am wrong or you wrong. If I am wrong, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me. If you are wrong, Allah Ta'ala forgive you. Bas. Usse aage, is kisse ko khinchne ki zarurat nahi. There is no need to drag the story any further. One of two situations, I am wrong or you wrong. If I am wrong, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me. You wrong, Allah Ta'ala forgive you. Khair, apne kaam chal, apne kaam karo. Now why should we go deeper and deeper into this problem? Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah is the king of the time, and he left out, he abandoned the kingdom of Balkh. He abandoned the kingdom of Balkh. He took towards piety, righteousness, virtue. He felt to himself, perhaps I cannot manage the both. I want to go on this path, I can't manage to take care of the kingdom. If I need to go into the kingdom, etc., then I cannot manage this path here. For whatever reason, a mental condition, state of the mind. Some people did it. Sulaiman alayhi salam did the both. But some people can't manage both. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah advised him that do not ever take control of the wealth of yateem. لا يقضينا أو لا تقضينا بين اثنين. Don't ever preside over two people. Arak fika du'afan, I see some weakness within you. So I don't want you to preside over any case. And I don't want you to take control of the wealth of orphans. So some people are weak, they don't have that capacity, they don't have that type of strength. When they don't have the type of strength, then you don't pretend to have that strength. See? Abu Dharr Ghifari, Rasulullah is telling, don't do this. And Usman al-Ghani radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah is also already telling him in advance, Usman, you will be made to wear a shirt, you will be made to wear a kurta, a garment. See that you don't pull out that garment of your own. In other words, you will be given khilafat one day. Of your own, you don't pull that khilafat out of yourself. Here he's telling him in advance, and here he's telling me, you don't even take care of the wealth of orphans, you don't even preside over two people. But can you doubt their greatness? Anybody's greatness? You can't doubt the greatness of Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, he abandoned it. He felt he can't manage it. But he can't do insaf and justice to both, so he left it. Now a whole group of youngsters are moving, and you know how youngsters have it, they want to amuse themselves. We are moving on a safar on board the ship now, and we want some amusement, something to keep us going. It's a long journey that we have to cover, and we want something to amuse us, something to entertain us. So the right person will be someone that we don't know, poor, shabby looking, weak, so we can take him and we can entertain ourselves with him. Hurt him, punch him, knock him. He'll be the right person, right candidate. Now they don't know who's Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah, shabby clothing. He's not dressed well. He seems to be weak. He seems to be a foreigner. So he can't press for any charges. Nobody can come on his side. So they pushed him into the ship. Now as the ship is moving, now they're joking and they're pushing. One person is pushing from one end to the other end, he's falling down. He hardly gets up and he sits down. Next person grabs him from the other side and pushes him. And they're musing, they're laughing, and they're joking. Precisely at the time that they dropped him in that manner, a divine message comes to him. Ibrahim, these people here, they are blind. Right? And if you so say, we will drown the last one of these stupid people. This Khabith, we will drown the last one of them. Now, look at the response of the Ahlullah, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? On the one end we have it, Man aza li waliyan faqad azantuhu bil harb. He's hurt my wali, my friend, I announce war against him. But then what is the dictates of tolerance, withstanding and patience? Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah takes it. And he says to Allah ta'ala, O Allah ta'ala, as you have the power and the might to destroy the last one here, to destroy and to finish up the last one, you have the power. Who can hold back your might? Who can resist your strength and your power? Is there anybody can resist your strength, your might, your power? Nobody can resist it. Similarly, you have the strength to open up these people's eyes, in other words, to begin to understand realities of akhirat, qiyamah, jannat, jahannam, move on to righteousness, piety, etc. Open up the eyes and let them see the path of righteousness, that they may be able to see the akhirat more vividly, more clearly. They may become your friends. He made dua, and the last one of them turned out to be a wali. So this patience, one is tolerance, withstanding, covering up the weaknesses of friends, covering up the weakness of people. Like Allah Ta'ala concealed our faults, we conceal others. Like Allah Ta'ala was kind towards us, we be kind towards the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third is that we look at our own weaknesses. Don't go and advertise and look at other people's weaknesses. We look at other people's weaknesses, we won't find a good person in this world. Everybody will be bad. He's got this problem, he's got this other problem. Everybody will be despised. Everybody will be there'll be some weakness in every person. But then when we begin to examine our own selves, then we will find that there is nobody worse than ourselves. All the time we'll see, you know, I got this problem. I need to go and amend. I need to go and correct. So the right way is we correct ourselves. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. Turn to Allah Ta'ala. and amend yourself. Amend yourself, correct yourself, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the maker, He is the provider, He is the doer. We follow the procedure, definitely Allah ta'ala will grant you that admission. You follow the procedure, He will grant you that admission. Like I say, namaz, you follow the procedure, make the wuzu, taharat, the body is clean, the clothing are clean, the place where you're performing namaz is clean. Now you perform that namaz, anybody will tell you, inshallah, that namaz is valid. But you don't follow the procedure and say, no, I'm reading namaz, but my namaz is not getting answered. But you're not following the procedure. Similarly, we want some correction within ourselves. We want solutions to our problems. So we need to follow the procedure. Allah Ta'ala, tawfiq nasib.